Morning, everyone.
Morning.
How are you?
Very good.
Is it back? I don't like that noise. For those that don't know me, I'm Samantha. I'm part of the leadership team here at Gungahlin. As such, didn't expect that, but that's okay. It's great to see you all here. It's really great to see you all interact at the beginning of in morning tea. It's really encouraging to see that. So well done for that. I want to remind you of the 4 G's. Does anyone remember the 4 G's that we've been working on? New term? Well done. Was it up there? Oh, well done. Yeah, I know. I don't have any prizes. Do we have any fantails still? I'll have a look and see what I can find. So we gather in various groups at different times and places, fostering connections in these gatherings. We nurture our growth in our love for God and for one another. Through giving our time, talent and treasure, we support and uplift our community. And as we go, we take the Great Commission, a scattered church making a positive impact wherever we tread. As such, I've really enjoyed concentrating on these 4 G's. I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed, and I know both Dom and I have been really encouraged how you guys have picked that up. And some of the stuff that we're seeing has been really, really good. So be encouraged. We're encouraged by you guys. And we've really enjoyed leading through this bit. Our connect groups, for those that don't know, are each Sunday at 9:15 during the school term. So we have 2 weeks until they start again. Next week will be the brunch, the church brunch that we have. And then lots of food. And then the following week will be the 9:15 groups as such. So we have, in those groups, we have an alpha group, we have a growth study group, a youth group, and a prayer gathering plus kids church. And kids church is fun just because I'm there most Sundays and I always enjoy that. And the hospitality ministry, which has provided morning tea, which has been absolutely beautiful. So make sure you say thank you to those guys because they do a lot of work. So make sure you say thank you for that. And this is a great time to connect with each other. We learn in small groups, yeah? We get to know each other more intimately in small groups than just sitting here in church. You learn when you're gathered around in a circle, you learn where those people come from. So we really encourage you, if you can, it's getting warmer, it's not so cold, so if you can get up at the 9:15 and be here for a small group, please come. They're great. I'm going to hand it over to Dom, and he's going to lead us through this.
Well, morning. Welcome. My name's Dom. And Nick? Morning. Thanks, Duncan. It's good to join with you. We had a short break for a week and a half over the school holidays. We got to catch up with some family. My sister was down from Darwin at Karua, my mum, so got to have a number of days with her. And we also then spent our birthday weekend in Naruma last weekend celebrating Hannah, our eldest, turned 18 yesterday. And so we've got another adult in the house now, all ready for the referendum. So we've also celebrated a good friend's birthday. So we got back to Canberra on Tuesday. It was a lovely time away, really was. But then I had an 18th yesterday, so 20 kids in our 20 teenagers in our house. At midnight, I think we said, "All right, good night, time to go." No, it was a good celebration. We're really proud of our daughter and what's happening for her. But enough of that. We want to worship this morning. Now you'll notice on your chairs And if you haven't got one, there's more on the chairs down the front. This is just to help us a little bit this morning. Each week we have different people get up and take care of different elements, which we love doing, and that'll happen last week, it'll happen next week. But this Sunday, I thought we might just have everyone's involvement in some of the elements this morning. Quite often we talk in church about a call to worship, a call to worship. The call to worship is something that God comes from God that draws us to Himself. A call to worship reminds us that coming together isn't our initiative. Of course, we've got to get out of bed and come here, but God invites us into that. We didn't think it up. God is the one who called us out of the world to relive the gospel story. We come to remind ourselves each week, don't we, of the gospel story, remind ourselves of what God's done in us and through us. We're invited into His presence for His glory and for our good, to pause and to be reminded of those things. Allow the Holy Spirit to do its work within us and to engage with God's invitation. Simply put, a call to worship is a call to God's people into His presence. To do that is to worship the living God, to remember God's greatness, kindness and power, and to worship Him with others in the body of Christ. Now, on one side of the sheet of paper you'll have there today is actually there's three calls of worship along the top. And I just want to invite you this morning, if any of those readings resonate with you, if one of those lines resonate, you don't have to read the whole lot, but I wonder this morning if different people would like to share. And if it's been read once, you're welcome to read it twice, you know. Sometimes it's good to hear it a second time, but just to help us this morning as we worship. We are going to use video clips today for our music. I'm not a big fan of video clips, but don't be distracted by that. Let's still engage with the words that it brings to us this morning. So who wants to kick us off to help us with the call to worship this morning?
Psalm 136:1-3. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. For His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. For His steadfast love endures forever.
Thank you. Is there someone else?
Psalm 138:1-3, CSB. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing your praise before the heavenly beings. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name. For your constant love and truth, you have exalted your name and your promise above everything else. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased strength within me.
We're going to share a prayer, and on the bottom part of that first page, there's a couple of, if you want to take your seats, do that. On the bottom part of that first page, there's a couple of different prayers along there. I'm just wondering if someone or a couple would like to read some of those prayers this morning to encourage us in worship.
Father of all who live in the Spirit, you have brought unity through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help all who profess His name to show in their lives, in their worship, and their evangelism, that oneness which springs from the truth, as it is found in Jesus. And fill your church with the desire, both to seek and find that unity, throughout the world, in His name. Amen.
Thanks, Duncan. Someone else would like to read one of the other ones.
Lord, we do not come to worship you because we must, but because we long to. We do not come because we are worthy, but to give you glory. We do not come for our own benefit, or to receive a blessing, but because you are worthy of all our thanks and praise. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Someone like to read the last one.
Heavenly Father, how I praise and thank you that my life is hid with Christ in God. Thank you that I am a new creation in Christ and have died to sin and been raised to life, together with Him, in heavenly places. Help me to live as unto the Lord, to lay aside all that is displeasing to you, and to set my mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. In Jesus' name I pray, Amen.
Amen. Thank you for participating in those this morning. Psalm 96 says to us, "For God is great and worth a thousand hallelujahs. His furious beauty puts the other gods to shame. Don't you love that? His furious beauty. I don't know the image that brings to your mind, but pagan gods are mere tatters and rags, but God made the heavens. Royal splendor radiates from him. Royal splendor radiates from him. A powerful beauty sets him apart. That's Psalm 96. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we this morning gather together to lift up your name, to cry out to you from where we position ourselves today, Lord. But we're grateful that no matter we position ourselves, God, that you still reign, that you still rule. And no matter what we have encountered, are encountering, or will encounter, we know that we can stand on you, the solid rock, and be held by you. This morning, God, we offer our repentance. Lord, if there's things in our lives that we need to bring to the surface and seek your forgiveness, Lord, then we do that this morning. We offer that up to you. But most of all, we're thankful this morning. Thankful for what you've done for us. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for us, to forgive our sins so that we can truly live in you, Lord. So this morning we just offer up our prayers, those spoken and those unspoken, those spoken through scripture and those that we will ponder. But either way, we offer them up in thanks and from a grateful heart, knowing that we can come before you at your throne. So Father, this morning may words spoken, thoughts in this place, prayers offered up, that you will hear us today, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Some very concrete, practical teaching there this morning, isn't there, in that one chapter of Paul's writing. Now, Paul was an absolute, I think, genius as a writer. The way that his writings have been recorded, like there's praise in that, there's encouragement, there's challenge, all tied up in that one chapter in particular. And we're going to unpack a little bit of that this morning. I've given you three versions, and you know, you might want to underline, circle, whatever, as you go through. That's up to you. Or you might want to take one and review. Sometimes it's interesting to compare side by side scripture and to see how different people have interpreted the original language through that, the different meanings that can be brought. But in some ways, Paul's writing down some in what I'd say instructions in life. And this morning I want to be talking about life's assembly instructions. That's what I'm going to be talking about. So it might be nearly a bit of a blokey sermon this morning in some regards, but we don't follow instructions, do we, fellas? Hey, you ever bought a piece of furniture from IKEA? Who's ever done that, right? Probably many of us. You bring it home in this tiny little flat pack that's going to build some, you know, entertainment unit. You rip into it and scratch your head, had this bag of screws that usually is like way too many pieces, and you think, I can't put this together without reading the instructions. Though some of us will try, it doesn't always come together. We like to do first and read later, but unfortunately it has to go the other way around. How much easier, particularly with IKEA furniture, is it when you read the instructions first? The book of Colossians is attributed to the Apostle Paul, who wrote to the church of Colossae. Colossae was in a significant area which formed part of a trade route. So when you're thinking trade route in our day and age, we think of something like the highway between here and Sydney. A lot of people travel it on a regular basis for many different reasons. A lot happens. Without that road, we suffer from things like produce, food, fuel, all those bare essentials. So it's quite a busy area. And Colossae was one of those, what they call a trade route, with two other cities, whereas a lot of people passing through, not always staying here. I guess Canberra, in some regards, people come and stay or then go. But there's a lot of traffic coming through. And though less significant than the other two cities, Paul seemed to feel it was important to write to that church. After all, the church there, as we heard this morning, hadn't actually heard from Paul direct himself. They were the church had been formed by one person who was ministering in that community that had come to faith through that one person. In this region, there was a large Jewish colony, and in addition, a mix of philosophers, new ideas and doctrines that have come in from other places. And being a trade route, again, was fertile ground of religious speculations and strange different thought that would infiltrate the people there. The Church of Colossae is not mentioned in Acts, but as we said, Paul didn't start it, but it was a flow-on from his ministry, and some sort of attribute that to his three-year ministry in Ephesus, and it come from that. Paul wrote to clear up some doctrine and establish the truth of the gospel with them. That's his intention. Paul wrote to clear up that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus died and that rose again for the sins of the world. He wrote to clear that up for them, to make it very plain and simple. The work of the cross, Jesus settled. In the work of the cross, Jesus settled the debt of sin and completely defeated Satan's influence and declared victory over the evil one, God's victory over the evil one to that community. He put an end to the legal demands of the law, which was becoming a roadblock for many, and he challenged the state of the human body as not evil but born with a fallen human nature that wanted to control the body and through sin. And if the body was evil, then why would Jesus choose to come this way and minister through this means? The truth is that the Christian faith teaches us that God is near us. God's not a far off, distant God removed from us. That he's actually interested and wants to be in relationship with us. He wants to have interaction with us. He wants to hear from us. And that's part of why we come this morning, isn't it? It's part of that. But we live that out in our daily lives. That God made all things good. You know, if you go back to the beginning of Genesis, we hear that time and time again. You know, he says, you know, he made that and it was good. But always when he talked about humans, he said they were very good. He put a real emphasis on what he made. He also emphasised that Christ delivered his people from the influences of darkness. And while Paul was confronted that the body needed to be controlled from the outward in through diets and special procedure, though helpful, Paul argued that the true spiritual growth would come from within. In reading today's scripture, we must keep in the perspective that the pagan religions of Paul's day said very little about personal morality. A worshipper could bow down before an altar, give an offering, and live with the same sin. And what a person believed had little to no effect on how they behaved, on the outworking of what they did. For the truth told, they were potentially behaving the same way. They weren't changed by what they believed. But the Christian faith brought about a significant change to them and the teaching that that Paul would bring. And what we believe affected now how to behave as well. When they received what Christ had to offer for them, it changed the way they would live that out. The faith brought about change in the believer's behaviour as well. But faith in Christ means being connected, united with Christ, and to live this way, to follow his example. He cannot live in us by his spirit and permit us to sin at the same time. There had to be a change in the outworking of who we were. Paul instructs to help us in living a life that Christ intended for us. That's what is part of his teaching. Or what I call is life's assembly instructions, which include we purchase the product, we unwrap the product, dispose of the packaging, assemble the product, and then put the product to good use. Very practical approach or a view this morning that I'd like to bring to this passage. To begin with, we need to actually purchase the product. Don't know about you, when I like to buy a significant thing in our house, when I say significant, that could be as little as a $20 purchase through to something more significant, I like to take my time. Who likes to research things? Two of us? Three of us? More of us? I like to take the time. Get on Google. Who stood at a shop before? And you get on, you know, check out comparisons and everything else. Yes, some of us do that. But I like to take the time. You want to know what you're buying. You want to understand that whatever you're going to invest your money in is going to fulfill what that purpose is. Early on in our marriages, we were still trying to work out, you know, how this marriage thing looks. We thought we needed to buy a new computer. Now, we're talking, you know, 21 years ago this year, So quite a while ago, so computers were a little bit different back then. But I spent 6 months looking for this computer, but still indecisive, but prompted by my wife's impatience for the need of a computer, I eventually had to go out and buy one. At some point in line, you've got to draw the line in the sand, yeah, and actually do something about it and just get on with it. At some point on our faith journey, we need to be able to step into the product that Jesus has for us, don't we? We need to step across and go, actually, I choose to buy into that. Paul reminds us what Christ has done and encourages us to set your sights on the realities of heaven. To set our sights on the realities of heaven. How many times in a day do you think about heaven? How many times in a day do you think about heaven? It's a challenge, isn't it? I don't. I'm not going to say for 1 second, ponder heaven regularly. But sometimes it helps keep life in perspective, doesn't it? To think about the realities of heaven. The way sometimes it's recorded through revelations and the images that it gives us. How often do we think about heaven, that place that Jesus has gone to prepare for us? It talks about in, I think it's John 14. How many times do we think about that? The realm where God reigns. Being able to be in that space, to come boldly before the throne of God. To fill our minds with those thoughts. We're encouraged to bind the product of what Jesus gives. The Colossians are urged to redirect their focus, concentrating their faith, thoughts and ambitions on Christ and the heavenly realm where God reigns. The shift requires continuous effort as it doesn't happen automatically. How many times do you lay in bed at night and just, I'm going to think about heaven right now. Or think about those realities in our life. It doesn't happen, does it? You've nearly got to engage some part of your brain to say, actually, I want to do something about that. Paul, in his open line, assumes that they have indeed embraced this change and have been reborn in Christ, leaving behind their old selfish ways, thoughts, and desires. They have become united with Christ's death and resurrection, and being hidden in him ensures their security, making them untouchable by anyone. That's what he was encouraging them, but equally so, he offers that to us as well, encourages us on that journey. Although we can buy the product, it's not enough to merely buy the product and leave it in the car. I couldn't buy the computer and not do anything with it. Leave it bouncing around in the back of the car is probably not ideal. We need to actually engage with the product then. We need to unwrap it. We need to see what it has to offer for us. Paul gives us a short gospel message in a couple of verses. He says that we died and our sinfulness died with Christ. And so Christ not only died for us, but our sinfulness died with him. Isn't that good? You know, that stuff that holds us back has been taken, that Jesus took that with us. Paul says that we are raised with Christ. While Christ died and was raised to sit beside God, we also, as Paul suggested, have been raised to life with Christ as well. And we can live in that victory now today. We don't have to wait till we step into the realities of heaven. We can live in that space even today. Here is a change. Not only have we been raised, but we can live in Christ. Christ, when invited in, becomes central to our lives now. A product that we can unwrap, engage with, and explore. And our existence is no longer centered in this world. Instead, it revolves around him. We anticipate Christ's return to bring us to our true home, living in the confidence of his salvation, being able to live in what he offers us. But while we make the purchase, unwrap it, we've got to get rid of some stuff. There's always packaging left over, isn't there? Particularly with IKEA furniture for some reason. There is mounds of boxes that comes with that stuff. And screws. And lots of screws. Well, if you assemble it properly, there's generally not many left over. But if you use liquid nails, there's usually lots left over. You're right. Sometimes we've got to get some of that rubbish out of our lives, don't we? We need to deal with some of that rubbish in our lives. But it takes effort. We've actually got to do something about it, don't we? It's like driving a car. You can't just, for those who drive manual or have driven manual, you can't just put life in neutral sometimes and expect anything to happen. Or put it in park. Maybe that's a comparison for automatic drivers. You can't just put it in park and expect to go anywhere, can we? Sometimes we've got to actually do something about it. We've got to, you know, assemble a product, to put it together. And Paul encourages us to embrace a fresh, ever-renewing nature. To embrace it. To embrace it. To align ourselves with Christ's desired transformation for us. The new renewal process that continues. So how do we embark on a journey of renewal? We do it by seeking God's will, understanding the teachings of Jesus Christ, of what he come to share with us, and the way he allows us to best represent him. The renewal extends to our intellect, our emotions, and our will, moulding them in accordance with God's plan for us, allowing him to shape us, to be used by him as we engage more and more and to receive from him that transformation into his likeness. Furthermore, Paul underscores the equality among us, emphasises that we are all on the same path. Just because I'm up here speaking doesn't mean that I have all this right and together, by no means. You know, what I say today and say every Sunday is a challenge each week for me as it is for you each to engage with that. We can put life in neutral and just try and coast through, but I don't think Jesus wants us to do that. Paul gives us some practical teaching that counteracts that. Counteracts the sins that he lists in verse 8, and he says in verse 12, he says, "Since God shows you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Making allowance for one another's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember that the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." There's a lot in that. It's probably about a four-week sermon right there in some of those things. But there's a challenge for us each in those words, isn't there? You know, what is it to make allowances for one another's faults? To forgive anyone who offends you. It's not easy, is it? There's challenges in that. But as it says, Jesus forgave us so that we could forgive others. Once any project has been assembled, and I'm going to say right, it doesn't fall apart, if it's put together right, it's got a purpose to live out. And Paul goes on in verse 16, it says, "Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill our lives." That's part of what we do here today. That's what we do as individuals, don't we? That's what we do, run the small groups. Those different elements that help us to let the message of Christ in all its richness fill our lives. What do you do to allow the teaching of Jesus, all his richness, fill your life? It goes on and says, "Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns," and which we've done that today, "and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts," being thankful to him. "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks through him to God the Father." Do you represent Jesus well in all your interactions and your relationships? Do you represent him well? There's a challenge in that, isn't there? So as I started out, set your sights on heaven and let heaven fill your thoughts. And if we are alive in Christ, therefore we should seek the Heavenly Father, get a heavenly view of our worldly experiences, but in keeping this, keep grounded, because we cannot be so heavenly focused that we're not earthly good. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, says this: "If you read history, you will find that Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next." I thought most of the next. Sometimes we get stuck in the day, don't we? In today. We don't think about what is to come. Take the moment to be able to do that. So we buy the product. We assemble it, remove the packaging, and we get to live that out. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help us to remain focused on you. And Lord, today it's easy to get overwhelmed and anxious about the challenges outside these four walls here today. However, Lord, help us to shift our focus from those things and to keep our perspective, our eye on you and your goodness. We thank you for the gift that you have given us to be able to live alive in Christ. Reminded of the heavenly realm to help us to get through the earthly realities, Father. Lord, whatever challenges sit in this room today within us each, may we seek your guidance and direction through them. And whenever they overwhelm us, may we each look to you in those challenges to be reminded that there's a heavenly perspective on what we're experiencing here and now. May they not overtake our view of you in our lives. So, Father, as we go from here, we go in your strength, courage, mercy and grace, Lord, to remain alive in you. Challenge us, encourage us, and equip us for the tasks that lie ahead, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And I want to leave you with these words now as we go. So go now as those raised with Christ, wondering of God's great love and telling the story of your salvation. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed and set your minds on the ways of heaven. And may God reach out to you and nourish you. May Christ Jesus renew you in the image of your Creator. And may the Holy Spirit lead you with cords of kindness and love wherever you go this week. Bless you each. Have a great week, and we'll catch you again shortly. Amen.